keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Good evening, everybody. Hello, welcome to the Reading FC Transfer Show, our second show of the summer. Plenty has happened since the last one we did about 2.5 weeks ago. Josh Lawrence has been confirmed, and Riyad Mota has gone out the building. We've also had a couple of incomings as well, Tom Ince and Dean Bouzanis coming into the building. My name is Ollie Allen. As you can see, if you are watching live on YouTube, I'm joined by Get Reading's Reading FC reporter, Jonathan Lowe, and also a view from the Dolan writer from the Tilehurst End, Ben Thomas. You'll hear from both of those chaps in just a bit. But we'll get straight in to the big news of the day. Ben, how delighted are you that Junior Hoylett has re-signed a one-year deal?
I didn't think it was going to happen. I you know, I was kind of waiting for Christmas and Christmas never came. And then, you know, you're into Easter and you're looking at next Christmas. So, yeah, I mean, you know, everyone knows I think he's fantastic. I think he brings a lot to the team. I thought he was, you know, very good in spells last year. I think he's got more to offer personally. But, you know, ultimately, I think he's a good character. I think from you know, when I've met him, and hopefully Jonathan will back me up on this, but he's been great. You know, he's been really, really good with the fans. You know, he's good with the younger players. Obviously had a few injury problems last year, but it makes sense for everybody. We know what we're getting, you know, kind of a forward-thinking player, knows how to score goals on his day. So, you know, me personally, very, very pleased. Everyone knows I'm a big fan of him. But, you know, the longer it went on, there was a concern that maybe someone else would have looked at him. Obviously, big rumours about going back to Toronto, but it's a good deal for everybody. You know, he's got the World Cup coming up in November, and yeah, let's just see what he can do for us. A year is a sensible deal. You know, he's getting older. It gives him the option to potentially go back home afterwards to kind of his dream move, really. So it's good to get his players tied down. And I said last time we were on, let's do the business as quickly as possible so we can get everybody together and kind of have a really solid pre-season. He's now part of the group up at St. George's Park. So, yeah, very, very pleased. And hopefully he can kind of kick on from where he was last season and kind of help those younger players come through as well.
Yeah, it's pretty much all of the out-of-contract players, sort of their futures, sort of now some staying, Tom Holmes, Andy Yeardom, and as we say, Junior Hoylett. The majority of the senior players, at least, going out the doors, we've said, Swift, Rinamata, Lauren, and we had it confirmed as well last week that Michael Morrison wouldn't be extending his stay at the football club. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, but I think it's now just Amari Samuels and Jamari Clark, who are the only sort of 23s players who are still yet to sort of decide their futures. Is that correct?
Oh, I've been on mute, yeah. Yes, I believe that's correct. It's just those two.
So we can, as Ben says now, hopefully look towards building for the new season. The squad are at St. George's Park this week for a pre-season training camp. Obviously, the club can't really afford to go abroad this year, so they are sticking to home comforts. But, you know, St. George's Park is pretty much as good as it gets in this country. You know, it's where all the England teams train, all the England youth teams train. Wickham are there at the same time this week, so there's going to be a few reunions with Jordan Nabita and Gareth McCleary. Reading are meant to be playing a friendly against Benfica, I believe, at the end of the week, but it wouldn't surprise me if we suddenly saw some news coming out about a friendly against Wickham as well. I suppose the big transfer rumour at the moment, it's hard to avoid it, really. We've gone 4 minutes so far without mentioning the name Shane Long, a man who obviously is a Reading FC legend, but also a man who seems to have been linked with a return to the club ever since he's left 11 years ago. But it seems as though this summer it might finally come to fruition. He is officially a free agent now, Shane Long. His contract expired at Southampton at the end of June, and he's now on the hunt for a new club. Jonathan, don't get my hopes up, but how close are we to finally seeing Shane Long back in a Reading shirt?
I don't think we're as close as some people are suggesting or perhaps hoping, unfortunately. I'm not saying it's off. Yeah, I mean, as I think the club put out something via Star the other week, didn't they, about how long dealings take with the EFL. And I've got no doubt that that's probably an issue with this. I've seen tonight that QPR are supposedly interested in him as well. So that's obviously another spanner in the works. I think Reading are very much kind of tugging on his heartstrings and hoping that, you know, the emotional pull of a return to the Select Car Leasing Stadium will sway it. I personally think, you know, the move makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think he's got family here. Well, certainly his wife has family here. I feel he can certainly do a job for a season, and if not, perhaps another season as well. So, we heard from Mark Bowen last week as well, who confirmed that the interest is there, that he is a player that they are monitoring. In terms of anything being sort of imminent, I think that's certainly not the case. Let's perhaps hope I'm wrong, but I don't think we can expect a signing kind of just yet.
Yeah, I think every tweet the club put out at the moment is just met with pretty much blanket replies of this isn't Long, announce Long, where is Shane Long? There's obviously been a huge clamour to see, as I say, a club legend back at the football club. One of the greatest goal scorers this club has ever had. It is obviously worth noting that he's now 35 years old. He's not the sprightly 21, 22-year-old that we all remember banging in the goals. Is that what this is at the moment? Me and Mark did a piece on a Tyler Stender a couple of days ago, sort of weighing up the pros and cons of sort of re-signing Shane Long. And I think from my perspective, it's certainly a case that as much as I would love Shane Long back at the football club, you know, he was a hero of mine growing up. You know, as I say, he's a club great, and it would be great for sort of a whole buzz around the place just to sort of get that morale boost up. But in terms of sort of his impact on the football pitch, he scored 7 goals across nearly 80 games over the last 3 seasons, you know, 1 in every 10 essentially, nearly for Shane Long, which isn't the sort of, you know, if you're signing him as a Lucas Jarre replacement, for example, and we'll get onto Lucas Jarre in a bit, he's not going to be sort of scoring you 15, 20 goals a season as he was 10, 11 years ago. Do get your comments in, by the way, down below, and we'll pop a few on screen if you do get in, sort of your opinions on Shane Long. But Ben, is this sort of a nostalgia debate here that he's almost being signed for that morale boost, and we shouldn't be expecting that 15, 20 goal a season striker?
Yeah, 100%. For me, it's the nostalgic element, and I hope that it's being viewed as a morale boost and very little more than that. You know, I don't expect him to start many games. I don't expect him to score many goals. I know we're kind of going towards away from what we want signing players, but you know, he would give everyone such a boost, and you can see, you know, we've said all along that social media, and particularly Twitter, is a good benchmark of how fans are feeling, whether that's right or wrong. That's just reality, and actually the buzz around him at the moment and him signing is phenomenal. And I think he's the kind of signing that will sell shirts. I think he's the kind of signing that will bring a few people back if they're kind of contemplating getting a season ticket or not. So I think he would be really, really important for the place to bring him back. Whether or not he plays many games, I don't know. I was quite concerned that some people felt he would be a direct replacement for Lucas Jarre, because it's obviously not going to happen. But if he can, you know, if we can get someone else in alongside Jarre and maybe, you know, push Mate up a bit more and have Long off the bench sometimes, you know, that would be great. But he will be very, very popular with, you know, with the fans, with the staff, with the players, with the younger players as well. And that's kind of where we're at the moment. I am concerned that it's taking this long to get it announced. You know, Jonathan's right about the EFL. That's kind of from a star point of view. That's what the club have always said, that it's always the EFL that are holding these things up. So, you know, let's hope that he is signed in the next sort of week or so, and we can start using him in pre-season and get him fully embedded into the squad. But yeah, he would be, for me personally, as you said, Ollie, it'd be fantastic signing and would really bring home or bring back a lot of people that would be able to you know, to come back and support the club.
Yeah, as Lee says, if he goes to QPR, it will only be for the money. And I suppose that's it's almost true in a sense, because, you know, every other club this summer is going to be more attractive than Reading in terms of the wages they can offer, in terms of any sort of signing on fee they can offer. And it is going to be stuff like, as Jonathan says, pulling on the heartstrings of Shane Long, you know, the club that gave him his chance in English football, in terms of getting him into the football club. That number 9 shirt is vacant, so I imagine that if he did sign, those Long 9 shirts would fly off the shelves. Alistair says, I had a feeling that we'd jump the gun on it. I'd imagine QPR can get a deal done a lot quicker, but let's hoping Long can wait while we try and get approved by the EFL. Yeah, absolutely. I think it is just going to be a case that Shane Long knows what's good for him, and he's not going to go and sign for the fake hoops this summer, and he's willing to wait to try and sign for Reading. In terms of other incomings, then it's been a relatively quiet sort of couple of days in terms of rumours. I think probably the main thing we have to go off is probably the trialists that played in Reading's first pre-season friendly of the summer against Colchester at the weekend. It was a 2-0 win for the Royals, including a missed penalty for one of the trialists. The club didn't mention on the club website, but I wonder whether that trialist, you know, may not be staying on after that missed penalty. I would hazard a guess it might be Connor Wickham. I'm not sure, that's purely guesswork. But Jonathan, we did see pictures. I think the club have tried to keep it as tight as possible in terms of letting these names out there. But I think Colchester posted a photo on their Twitter of the game, and it included Connor Wickham in it, and that tweet has swiftly been deleted. So I think someone at Reading has probably had a quiet word to say, can you please remove that, because we are not trying to reveal those names. But as far as sort of, there's a lot of hype on Twitter on Saturday, sort of people trying to guess who they could spot in the pictures and linking up tattoos with different trialists, which isn't my game personally, but if you want to go and do that, crack on. But I think the assumption being that Connor Wickham, Massimo Luongo, Brandon Ormond Otterwill, all involved in the game at the weekend. Any other names? Louis says, are we still in the race for Caddon? It's Paul Caddon, if we ever were. What's the situation on the trials, obviously, because that is going to be one of the ways we're going to have to get players in this summer. They're limited to free agents and loans, so it's quite a good way of getting these free agents in on trial to see if they are a good fit before they sign them permanently.
Yeah, those three that you mentioned, is certainly I think were involved on the weekend against Colchester. As you probably saw and could tell, that the local press weren't allowed in precisely for this reason, so we didn't reveal any names. There we go. Obviously there's some at St George's Park as well this week with the squad, hoping to earn a contract, and I'll be there on Saturday for the Benfica games. Hopefully I might get a bit of a steer on who might be staying on and who might be going. That's kind of where we're at, really. Wickham is someone who I think Bowen tried to get when he was manager a couple of years ago, so that's a bit of a long-standing interest. We all know about the left-back situation. Ormond Otterwill is on the list, and I believe he is with the squad at the moment. So he's looking for a contract. Caddon, I'm not sure about him, to be honest. I imagine he's one of a number of left-backs that they are considering. And given the lack of left-backs and the fact that Imari Samuels, from what Mark Bowen told me last week, that he's pretty much going to be going. So I imagine they'll be looking to get at least two left backs in. So expect some activity in that area. Luongo, obviously, they're very short in midfield, so he's another option. I didn't realise I saw him last week at the training ground. To be honest, I didn't recognise him. Having seen pictures of him now, then yes, that was him. If I knew last week. Those three or four players are trialists. They are looking at others as well. They're going through them. They're obviously considering loan players as well, but that's probably going to be a bit later in the window. They'll certainly leave a few gaps later in the window for players who become available kind of sort of mid August time, when they've had their pre-season with the Premier League clubs, and they've perhaps decided to move them on for either the whole season or 6 months. Hopefully things will get sort of gather pace in the next few weeks, and then you get some players in probably not for the Benfica game now, but for the West Ham game Saturday week. That'll be the next chance to show off hopefully a couple more signings.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd recognise Massimo Longo if I walked past him in the street. So,
well, to be honest, I don't know whether you think this, but I think he looks a bit like Ilkay Gundogan. So obviously I couldn't say Ilkay Gundogan was at the Reading training ground, but I felt it did look like him, and I maintain that they look a bit similar.
You fancy the new challenge after winning the Premier League with Man City. I suppose that's going to be the way it is, Ben. We aren't going to be bringing in these star-studded names that people recognise, maybe. I certainly haven't heard of Brandon, Ormond Otterwill, Connor Wickham, I think people have heard of, but his career has sort of nosedive is maybe a bit harsh, but he was playing in League One with Sheffield Wednesday last season. And, you know, we spoke on the last transfer show about how Reading is not an attractive club to be either re-signing contracts for or signing for this summer. And, you know, their recruitment strategy is going to have to be quite clever. And this is going to be the way where rumours are perhaps protracted, where, you know, we've spoken about Long and, you know, how the EFL, everything has to go through them. So things are always going to be dragged out to, you know, to a fair amount of time. And is it going to be sort of a decent-ish recruitment strategy to be taking players on trial? You know, we've got, what is it, 3 weeks or just over 3 weeks now till the start of the season. You know, hopefully a few decisions are made by then, but this is going to have to be the way that the recruitment happens this summer.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think they've done incredibly well to get quite a lot of those players re-signed. You know, looking at the list as we did sort of at the end of the season, you know, the only surprise really would have been Rinomota going to Cardiff in the way that he did. I was quite hopeful and thought that he was going to re-sign based on some of the information that I'd had. So I think realistically they have to get a balance now. They've re-signed those players, but they're going to need to get fresh bodies in purely because, you know, last season wasn't successful, and if you're re-signing the same players, nothing changes. So that's kind of an obvious statement to make, but they really now need to work hard on getting new people in, new personalities, you know, new skill sets coming into the club. And I think having this amount of trialists, in inverted commas, at the moment is probably a positive because it gives them time to look at it. I think, you know, on paper, we're probably a bit surprised that they were going to St. George's Park for a week. But actually, in hindsight now, having that group of players together and having a real good look at them on the training ground and, you know, as you say, potentially a friendly this week and then obviously Benfica at the end of the week, it's going to give them a good opportunity to really assess those players. And, you know, maybe with the exception of Cadden, there aren't other clubs queuing up to sign these players at the moment. So we're taking it day by day and looking at these players and hopefully get some through before, certainly before West Ham, even in the week leading up to that, so they can really sort of get to know the club a bit more and go for it. But yeah, I would like to see some activity now, bringing new players in and you know, really shoring up the defence and thinking about sort of further up the pitch, particularly striker. Obviously we mentioned Long, but you know, Wickham wouldn't be against that signing personally. So it's about getting players that know this level and know what to do when things get tough. And as we said last time, we're under no illusions that this season is going to be particularly easy for us. So, you know, fingers crossed we can do some business in the next couple of days and early next week and go from there.
Yeah, the club have described it as a short week away at St George's Park, which I'm not really sure what that entails. I mean, I think it's a normal length week, to be honest. They're there from Monday to Saturday or to Sunday. But a lot of young players as well going at Wimbledon. Well, they have to go away with Paul Ince's squad because there are not that many senior players. So a good chance for Paul Ince to look at the younger players as well. A bit of a surprise maybe to see Mamadi Kamara and Gerald Dorset not in the travelling squad. They've stayed behind at Bearwood to work with Noel Hunt's 23s. Jonathan, is there any sort of particular reason for that? You know, Gerald Dorset was on loan, you know, in League One with Rochdale or League Two possibly last season with Rochdale. Surely he's the sort of player that Ince should be looking at to be bringing into the first team.
Yeah, perhaps so. I'm not too sure why they've been left home, to be honest, unless they're kind of, you know, strict on numbers and they've had to make a few, sort of big decisions on that. I don't know why they haven't been considered. I think they're certainly worthy of consideration at least to be on the, you know, fringes of the first team squad or even the first team. So, I found that a slightly strange one. Certainly, you know, Dorset is kind of the next one through in terms of, you know, centre-backs coming through from the academy, and obviously he's had that good season up at Rochdale last season. I think it was in League Two, actually. From all reports, he did pretty well. So I think he certainly deserved an opportunity. Clearly, the centre-back area is the one area where they are quite... there are quite a few options, aren't there, for Paul Ince. So maybe that's a consideration, and perhaps, you know, there might even be a move for Dorset already lined up and maybe it's just going through the motions of getting him out, but perhaps that's why he's not being involved. But I thought Kamara would have been worthy of a place there as well. So, maybe I'll find out on Saturday, but... you know, it would have been nice to see perhaps a few more of the younger players given an opportunity at St George's Park this week, but clearly that's not going to be the case.
One other name, Jonathan, to put to you before we move on to discussion on one player who might possibly be leaving. Alistair says, any update on Shackleton? Jamie Shackleton, the Leeds midfielder slash right back. He's played both positions, but he's been linked potentially with a loan move to Reading. How close might that be?
Again, I don't think there's anything imminent on that. Like with the other ones, all these deals take time, and he's on the radar, but I'm not expecting anything imminent. Hopefully we'll be proved wrong first thing tomorrow morning.
Well, let's discuss a player that potentially might be leaving. Then lots of talk on incoming players. Obviously, Reading have still got a very small squad, so players do need to be coming into the building. But ultimately they also need the money. So players might be sold if the right offer comes in, and one of those is Lucas Yao. The Athletic reported last week that Besiktas have made a £3 million bid for Lucas Yao. Watford and Nottingham Forest also said to be interested in him. There's a really good piece on the Tylehurst End from Sim last week, sort of weighing up the pros and cons of Reading accepting an offer for Lucas Yao. Ben, where do you sort of sit on this spectrum? Obviously, it's a difficult one, as Sim mentions in the piece, where we don't really know if Reading are going to be able to. They aren't, because we can't spend transfer fees this summer. So any money that the Reading do get in for Lucas Yao, yes, will sort of help our case, I suppose, if you like, to the EFL, that we are able to generate money from player sales. But ultimately, we aren't going to be able to reinvest, whether that's a £3 million transfer fee or whatever, £2.5 million, whatever, we aren't going to be able to reinvest that into the squad. His contract expires next summer. He's got a year left on his contract. Do you take the hit that ultimately his goals, he's got 19 goals in 39 championship games in 2021, and then 10 goals in 24 championship games last season. He's got a record of pretty much one goal every other game, Lucas Yao, championship, which you aren't really going to be able to find probably with a loanee or a free agent. If we can't, reinvest that money, do you almost take the hit and say he's not leaving, come what may this summer?
I would be very surprised if the club let him go for anything less than sort of £5 million, really. And the reason for that is he's incredibly valuable to what the club and Paul Lintz are trying to do. He always seems very, very happy, kind of playing and being around the squad. Obviously, we've questioned his attitude on occasions when he's sort of been seemingly lolling around the pitch. But for me, he has to stay. We're not going to get anyone of his quality in this season. Whether we're allowed to kind of reinvest that money or not, it's not going to happen. So really we should be looking to supplement kind of him and what he's able to do. We're not going to get a replacement for him is a simple answer at this stage. So I would be very, very surprised now with Bowen and other people in charge at the club that they would be happy to sell him for a very small amount. Obviously, if he goes to a club in England, they're going to be kind of looking for even more of a premium, such is the way of English football at the moment. So I would be very, very disappointed if not in him, but in the club, if they chose to take a small offer for him. And also, the longer it drags on, the less time we've got to get someone through the door. So it doesn't appear that, the Besiktas thing doesn't appear to have come of anything. It looked at some point like they were moving on as well with their own transfer targets. So I would be very, very surprised if anything happened with them. I think he's more likely to stay in England and, as you say, go to kind of Watford or potentially Forest or other clubs around that might be interested in that kind of ballpark, really. It would not be a sensible move for the club at all to move him on at this stage of pre-season, and obviously thinking about how much they would be able to reinvest if anything. and obviously then you're in that situation where if Long signs, then he does become a replacement for Jao, and that really would be as a disaster. So let's hope that doesn't happen, and we can start the season with him up front, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's definitely a player that has the quality to be playing top end of the championship. He's never played in the Premier League, but you wouldn't begrudge him a move to a club like Forest who have just got promoted. And I think there is sometimes a bit of debate on Lucas Yao between Reading fans how important he actually is, and I suppose it depends on how much you value his goals, because ultimately he is just by the pure numbers, he's one of Reading's best strikers in the last decade. You know, that's just a fact in terms of the goals he's contributed. And, you know, certainly the season before last, when we finished, you know, seventh, you know, yes, he had that horror miss against Barnsley towards the end of the campaign, but his goals at the start of the season had pretty much fired Reading into that top six. So it is a difficult one. Jonathan, you met with Mark Bowen last week. What's the sort of the club standing on this at the moment in terms of if they do receive decent bids for players? You know, Lucas Yao is probably the most valuable player that the Reading have at the moment, you know, along with, you know, someone like Yaku Mate or something like that, you know, maybe Tom Holmes, Tom McIntyre. What's the club's stance in the fact that they can't spend transfer fees this summer, they can't spend money on loan fees? What's their stance when a decent bid or if a decent bid comes in for one of these players?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, actually, because I think there's been a bit of a change in stance from the club about Lucas Yao, to be honest, because I was told basically at the beginning of the summer that they were, you know, willing to, certainly not necessarily willing to let him go, but kind of opened offers for him. And now, you know, from what Bowen said last week, he pretty much said that he's going nowhere. There's no need to sell, kind of from a financial point of view. And like you guys have been saying, the importance of his goals, he's effectively irreplaceable. And if they did get a fee for him, it can't be reinvested for at least another year because of the embargo. So I think Bowen even said, like, you know, if they get 25-30 million for him, then there's not really much point because they can't do anything with that money. Money is a little object for the owner, as we all know, as we've seen over the past few years. So it doesn't need to sell. I think what I would say, I mean, the only benefit of him going, to be honest, is that it would free up some wages, and just say, for argument's sake, if he's on 50 grand a week, which he's not, but if he does go, that's potentially 50 grand in wages, which could be split on five players coming in for 10 grand a week. You know, five potentially, I'm not saying replacements or anything, but, you know, pretty good players who could strengthen other parts of the side. So from that point of view, I think there is a possible, you know, advantage to letting him go. But like you say, I think overall, you know, weighing everything up, it's important to try and keep hold of him, unless he agitates for a move and wants to get out. And in that case, it probably would be good to move him on. As I say, from what Bart Bowen was saying last week, I think he's kind of, you know, assessed the whole situation, seen the picture going forward. And from the club's point of view, I don't think they're going to, doesn't sound like they're going to be entertaining any offers anytime soon. But, you know, this is football. You never know. And, you know, if some big bid comes in and, you know, it's Zhao's favourite club, then who knows, he might be on the way. But I think, you know, if I was to be pushed right now to say whether he'd be here on the first day after the transfer window, I'd probably say he will be, which should please most of the fans because, as we've seen, what an important player to the side he is.
Yeah, whenever anyone sort of makes the argument that you can replace one player with five lesser players, I always think of Gareth Bale at Tottenham when he was sold, and they signed about six or seven players as his replacement. I think Christian Eriksen was the only decent one out of a lot of them. But yeah, there's certainly an argument to be made, and obviously Reading need to get, you know, this wage bill down. I think it's £16 million is their wage cap to sort of fall in line with this EFL business plan to avoid a further 6-point deduction this season. But yeah, we will wait and see. But certainly, yeah, I think that the feeling is that, you know, Lucas Yao, in his current position, you know, yes, if they were able to spend money, then perhaps he is replaceable. But certainly in their position at the moment, it would from my point of view seem quite silly to let him go. And that just about then rounds up. We've managed to stick just under half an hour today. We went a little bit over last time. We've stuck it into a pint-sized half an hour show today. Hopefully you have enjoyed. Thank you very much for tuning in and also getting involved with all your comments. The transfer room, I'm sure, will continue going round. It's just 3 weeks to go now, or just over 3 weeks. Until the championship season begins on July the 30th, slightly earlier this year. But yeah, Reading squad away at St George's Park this week with a friendly against Benfica, and then more friendlies against West Ham to come, Brighton to come, Wimbledon to come, a reunion with Alex Pearce and Chris Gunter now as well. So lots to look forward to over the next few weeks. And we will be back. I can't give a certain date, but we'll be back at some point whenever, hopefully when Shane Long is through the door and Lucas Yao is very much staying in the sun, a new 5-year contract. So we will be back. All the latest rumours, done deals and exits then. But until then, thank you very much for watching and come on, you Ars.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Ars!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.